Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, this one is titled A Fellowship for Forerunners, and this is really just a call to our distinct expression. One of the interesting things as people come around is, the name Forerunner Fellowship can sometimes trip you up, because I just know so many times if I'm ever calling someone or, you know, letting them know where we're from, typically they think foreigner, like you're not from this country, you're a foreigner fellowship. And it's like, no, Forerunner. Like the car, like the SUV, Toyota SUV, you know, Forerunner. So Forerunner Fellowship is a distinct congregation. We just are. And I want to give us, help define some of those distinctions, but then also give you a little bit of the why behind the what, and then call us to it. That's really what we're going to be doing today. So a lot of times the common practice is a congregation will kind of form or will plant, and especially in a church plant, what you end up doing is you really do kind of replicate the congregation that you're planting from, and you know that's kind of a model that is pretty common in church or church congregations. When we planted, though, one of the things that we were real specific on is we wanted to do whatever the Lord was calling us to do. And so we really sought the Lord as we were forming this congregation. And we didn't just want to do any one thing because it had already been done before. We just really wanted to hear the Lord, what he had for our congregation, what objectives he had for our community, what he had for this area here in Arlington. And we wanted to minister out of that. And so that's really what we did. I want to give us a passage out of 1 Corinthians 12 that really kind of lays out this idea of many parts of one body and that being okay. In fact, that kind of being the plan. We see that there are different purposes, that there are functions within a body while still having a collective and a harmonious way to do that, to be diverse individuals and even congregations, while at the same time working together collectively to accomplish what the Lord intends for that given area. Here in 1 Corinthians 12, there's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Different activities, diversity in activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. And when we were coming together, this congregation, we were like, Lord, what is it that our part of the body is to play? The last part of this verse is it describes the different functions of the body. If every part of the body was an eye, where would be the smelling? If, you know, that kind of concept of if every congregation or if every individual was just a clone or a replication of what was happening, just a different iteration, there would be so many things that are left out. And so really there's strength in the diversity in the body of Christ. So what I want to look at is how is Forerunner Fellowship different? I'm going to just list off a couple. Forerunner Fellowship is a congregation that is aimed at young adults. That's kind of a different thing. We are not exclusively young adults, obviously, but that's kind of where the aim is. There's a place for everyone who's a not young adult in a lot of different congregations. And one of the things that is unique to our focus with young adults is that demographic. And Amy Ader was hitting on it a little bit earlier as she was talking about the launching out the youth. There is just a demographic of young adults that is, as they get sent out, many times they just kind of drop off. But we're hoping in our foreigner kids and then also foreigner youth, equip them so that when they are in that 20-year-old-ish bracket, that they are equipped. And so what we're finding is those who are from without our congregation, that young adult bracket is just so underserved so many times. So that's one of the reasons that we're aimed at young adults, not the only reason, but one of the reasons. Another distinction about Forerunner Fellowship is we're a congregation that is dedicated to making the prayer room successful. We have made TPR, which is, you know, just a half mile down the road from here, our mission. It is the thing that we are aiming in a considerable amount of energy at. And so that is one of the major things that is a little bit different about Forerunner. Another thing is that we are systematically trying to disciple everyone in the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. We want to have a systematic way of people who come and be in our midst to have a pastor really in their life and to help disciple them in the teachings that Jesus gave. As Jesus was leaving the earth, he said, go and make disciples, not just go and preach the gospel, go and make disciples and teach all the things that I taught. This is what we're trying to do in a systematic way. We're trying to find ways to have those who are around here discipled in that and become lovers of Jesus. And then another distinction is that Forerunner Fellowship is a congregation that is reaching for a spirit of prophecy. These just handful of things, when you combine them, kind of make up a little bit of a unique church. We're not the only one doing something like this, but in our area, it is one of the things that is a little bit different, especially with those things combined. It's not the only things that we value, but it is the expression. It's the way that we as a congregation are kind of look and feel and the things that we're really aiming toward. And so the real question is, okay, that's what we are, but why? So like I was saying a second ago, when we were forming the congregation, I remember the lead team trip that we took to Austin. We really just kind of put everything on the chopping block and said, Lord, whatever it is that you want for us to do and whatever that might look like, we'll do it. And so we came to the conclusions through the leading of the Lord, some of the things that he was already initiating, but also through prayer and discussion. And we came to these things. We rested on these things of how Forerunner Fellowship would be a little bit different. And we wanted to be obedient to our calling. And we realized and understood that there would be some people who would be attracted to this calling. And there would be people who would need this expression of Christianity. We would be able to serve as a haven for some, and some people would find this family as something that was strengthening and helped them to thrive. And others would come and be in the midst as well. And then there would be some that would just not get it, not like it, not agree with it. And we said, you know what, that's okay. There are so many congregations in Dallas-Fort Worth that they can find a congregation that would be something more than what we're offering, something different than what we're offering. But as for us, this is who we're going to be, and we wanted to be able to have this expression because we knew it's what the Lord was leading us to do, and in the way that He was leading us to do it. And so, we began forming around 9 years ago, and as a church plant from Church on the Hill, now Hill City in Cedar Hill, and so that's how we started forming. That's why we started forming, and that's some of the journey of how we got here. I want to give us a little bit of a biblical picture, big picture, long term picture of the Forerunner ministry. If we are a Forerunner ministry, first, what is a Forerunner biblically? And then also, how do we express that? So a definition of a forerunner is one who would go before, one who would be just a couple steps ahead of you know, a pack behind, setting some of the standards, setting some of the pace, but then also one who is giving the message, one who is communicating this is the way forward. This is the things that we're about. And so in this context of a forerunner, I want to give a couple examples of who forerunners have been in the Bible. I want to identify those and then talk about how we look to those examples of how we can adapt that to our modern day context. So the first one that I would just really identify for our context, we're looking to the Bible as the inspiration for forerunners, mainly because we see that there is an expression in the generation before Jesus returns that there's going to be a people of God, that there's going to be a church who is operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we want to begin taking steps toward that way. So the first example that I wanted to identify is David. David radically changed the expression of worship and relationship with God in his day. I love the example of David just because it is so well documented. We have so many different examples, both from the first-hand experience, but then also those who wrote about him. But we get to see this picture of David and the way that he walked. And a couple of the things that I see and pull out of David's life and example is the way that he worshiped the Lord was just so radically different. It was out of his time period. And really, it was an example for us in the New Testament. There's a verse in Isaiah I love to identify as the model that David set. It says here in Isaiah 55, 3 and 4, "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you." Some foreshadowing of this new covenant that Jesus would establish when he would come to the earth. And Isaiah prophesies and says, "Look back to the life of David, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I've given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people." Now, we can look to the life of David and see a lot of the different things that he did, the house of prayer, a lot of the ways that he was a king, a military leader. But one of the things that I just really love about David was the way that he shepherded people. We know from his youth that he was a shepherd, and as his life began to develop, and eventually he would become this warrior, and then he would become the king. He never stopped shepherding. He never stopped that heart that was after God, after the Lord. We know the famous declaration over David's life was that he was a man after God's own heart. And there's a lot of different ways that expressed itself, whether that was the vow that he had for the house of prayer, or whether that was the way that he loved or the way that he lived for the Lord. But one of the things that I identified within that is the way that he cared for people was in the same manner that he had for the Lord. There's a verse in 1 Samuel 22 that I think about sometimes when I see the call to small group leadership. David had a group that was called to him. This was the group that was assigned to him for a season. It says, "David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. And he became a captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him." There was a crew of people who came and surrounded David, and he shepherded them so well. He became a captain over them. And one of the interesting things that develops out of this, if you follow the life of David, is from these people, from this group of people who were discontented, who were just down and out and in a rough spot of life, David developed these people into some of the mighty men of David that you'll read about within his life story there. There was an eye that was able to see beyond just the what the exterior showed, whatever the circumstances showed, and David could see past what was going on. There's an expression that he gave that if you look at the context of this group of 400, and then even the rough but valiant mighty men of David can maybe seem like it's kind of out of place, but again, I think this was the heart of the Lord. Psalm 16, this was his expression. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. David expressing the heart of the Lord, thinking about all of these people who were gathered to him, thinking about those people who were down and out, but the ones who the Lord had placed in his sphere of influence. He looked at them and saw what the Lord could see, and he called them the excellent ones. The way that he related to people, the way that he related to God, the way that he expressed worship in the tabernacle of David was radically different, and he was a forerunner. Another forerunner, John the Baptist. We know the testimony of John the Baptist was that he was one who was in the wilderness. He was the wild man out in the sackcloth, eating locusts and calling out. He was one who was a forerunner, one who would precede Jesus by just a little bit, but he was there in his ministry calling those to make straight the path to repentance. And so that was his ministry. He was one who was calling out as a burning and shining lamp. He was trying to call as many as who would listen, those who had an ear, who would come out to him to this ministry of repentance. One of the interesting things that I find about John's life is that John didn't actually operate in miracles. There's this interesting thing about this calling that he had. It was wilderness. It was rough textiles. It was interesting diet. It was a message that seemed very confrontational, especially the religious leaders of the day that he was calling out and calling to repentance. Did not have miracles in it. And that's kind of an interesting thing. Sometimes you may think, you know, if you go and follow that path, you know, surely there's miracles. But during this time, there were not any miracles happening up until when Jesus performed his first miracles. But his ministry was a ministry of calling to repentance just before Jesus would show up on the scene. But it was a ministry that was in the context of fasting and prayer and prophecy. The good news about this, it wasn't all sacrifice, was that there was an eternal perspective, and I believe that was part of the fuel that was fueling John the Baptist. It wasn't all just grit your teeth and get through the calling. There was I believe eyes on eternity for greatness. This is the testimony of John the Baptist that I want for us to remember about John, not just the rough clothing and the interesting diet, but the testimony of John is in Matthew 11. It says, this is Jesus testifying of him. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not arisen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And then it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And so there was an eternal perspective that was fueling John, I believe, and then definitely testified of him. Another forerunner, and the main forerunner, is Jesus. Jesus is the epitome of what relationship in God, what relationship, a life lived for God, life lived in God could be. We look to Jesus, the life of Jesus, as the way that he communed with the Father, the way that he loved those around him, the way that he interacted with those who were in need of the gospel, the way that he interacted with those who were around him. We look to Jesus as a forerunner, but another way that we see Jesus as a forerunner is as a great intercessor, as the high priest. And then also, after Jesus died, rose from the dead, and then ascended to heaven, we see that he is the first of the with a resurrected body. He's another name that he has in Revelation as is the firstborn from the dead. So we see Jesus as our great forerunner, and actually, at least in my translation, the only verse that has forerunner in it, we had to throw it in there, is in Hebrews 6, talking about Jesus as the forerunner, is talking about Jesus's ministry as a priest, as a high priest, but then also as one who would go before and set the pace for us to enter into a kingly priesthood that is eternal. In Hebrews 6, it talks about Jesus saying, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner," talking about Jesus, "has entered for us, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." And so Jesus, John the Baptist, David, these men of God who set these standards for those who would come behind them, these who set the standard for those who would maybe not even get to see them in the flesh, but would only get to read about them. These men who lived lives for God were tips of the spear in going forward. And many in their day did not understand them, did not get them, but they were obedient to what the Lord had called them to do. And so that's an example of a forerunner that we're looking to, as there are examples where it may not make sense, it may not seem like it's what everyone else is doing, but we are wanting to be obedient into what the Lord has called us to do. As pioneers and as trailblazers in our congregation, we're looking to, Lord, what are you doing in our generation? What are you doing in our region? What are you doing in our community? And one of the things that is fueling the way that we are doing this is we believe that the Lord is in the midst of transforming Christianity, changing the understanding and the expression in this generation. We believe that he is doing something that is going to change the way that the outside world views the church. When we look at the church in Acts, we look how the world interacted with the church. It right now, if we were to take a poll of, you know, what is the view, the perspective of the church, many would say kind of irrelevant, kind of pass in the view. We're in a post-Christian world now, especially here in the West. It's kind of not that big of a deal. My parents or my grandparents went to church. That's about all I know. That's kind of the outside view, but we feel like we believe that the Lord is changing in our generation that perspective. We believe that he's changing the expression, what the culture of the church is going to be. Specifically, we believe that the Lord is changing the church and transforming not into a new thing, but into an old thing, into something more resemblant of what the church in Acts looked like. We see the church in Acts more like a blueprint of what the Lord is doing in our generation. We are building in light of that. We are building and creating, at least in our context, a model that others could look to, or at least look at as a way forward into, again, not doing a new thing, but doing an old thing, doing something that is in line with the church of Acts. We know the verse well in Acts 2. It's one that we've talked about many times when we talk about the things that we are focused on as pray together, walk together, serve together. It is an expression that we really are inspired by in Acts 2, 42, and then also in 46 and 47, talking about the church in Acts. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. We see this blueprint, the way this expression that the church in Acts was moving forward, and the Lord was adding to their number. We want to take our cues from this and move forward in that. And so, interestingly enough, it's not a new thing; it's an old thing. It is, though it seems kind of different than what is going on around us. And one of the things sometimes that is different doing something that's different is when you look around and maybe compare notes and don't see a whole lot of people doing exactly what you're doing, sometimes you may want to deviate, or maybe that's unintended, but sometimes we can deviate or stop short of the destination of where we're trying to go. But we want to stay envisioned of what it is that the Lord is doing. So sometimes these type of vision casting messages, these type of remembering where we're coming from, where we're headed type of messages will help us stay the course. Want to give us just four things that help identify some of the distinctive, some of the way that we express those differences. FF is aiming to be a congregation that has prayer at its core, that sets a high bar for character, is generous, living simply, and then also having a prophetic reach. FF, we want to have a vibrant, not just call to prayer, but have actual prayer lives. We want to have prayer as a lifestyle. We're trying to set the culture of prayer here at FF as giving others a lifestyle, something to look at. Is it's normal, it's normative. It's not something that is just an event or a trend or something that you do once a year or whatever, but we are trying to have corporate prayer as a normative way of life. And so the way that we do that, we've said it so many times, is we are encourage everyone to be involved in a prayer meeting over at the prayer room. And even at the prayer room, we have we're striving to do 24/7 prayer. We're currently at 20 hours a day, and we're filling out the schedule as best we can, and there's so much work to be done. But I want to give you a little bit of what I envision for the prayer room as something for us to be aiming at, and that is right now, sometimes I feel sometimes we have like these corporate prayer meetings, but sometimes they feel like just maybe a handful of individuals in the room, and that's great. That's a great start. But our aim is to have more of a corporate expression together, and that happens occasionally. We have those meetings where there is that corporate reach, there's that corporate intercession, and so we're aiming that way. We have those budding virtues, making strides toward having a corporate prayer reality. We're calling, right now we're in the middle of a series on the greatest commandment. We are calling each other, we're calling ourselves to challenge our flesh, to challenge the culture's version of what is normal or what is ideal. And so we are setting a high bar, a biblical bar. It's a high bar to our culture standards, but it is Christianity 101. It is the way that we are moving forward. We set that bar of the greatest commandment, of the Sermon on the Mount, of what we are doing as a congregation. We are trying to live generous and simple. You heard Luke during the the time of offering, as it is the way that we are trying to establish a culture of generosity and simplicity, and it is eternally minded. It is minded. It is having God getting involved in our lives to be able to live simply and with our eyes toward heaven. And then another one is the prophetic reach. These handful of things, these ways that we express the values that we see are not the only values that we have, but it is these are some of the values that we're emphasizing. We have a prophetic reach, which may be different than what you see around, especially if you're combining these things together. Want to just identify the beauty of a prophetic reach. It may seem new for some of us, for the prophetic reach or for like prophecy that seems new, trying to hear God's voice and then make that something that is a corporate display or a corporate expression or application. But one of the things that we are really doing, honestly, is while we have this ministry of encouragement, ministry of ministering toward one another, what we're really doing is training our ear for hearing the Lord's voice. And that's kind of a long-term way of tuning our ear toward the Holy Spirit's prompting and hearing the way that the Lord is leading. The cool thing about that is all of these things really can be found connected. And what we have for us is a beautiful kind of cyclical way that this can fuel itself. You know, we have this prayer ministry right down the road that really provides an environment that can foster all of these things. We have the house of prayer that is intended to provide the context for developing individual and corporate history with God, and all of these things together really do work for us to have history with the Lord. We want to have individual, but we do want to have corporate history with the Lord as well. Want to take just a brief minute. I know we ran over with some of the other things earlier in the service, but I want to just give us kind of the way that I believe this is going to flesh out. We see in Matthew 24 that there is a timeline of tumultuous events and trends that are going to precede the coming kingdom. When Jesus is going to return, he said he told his disciples some of the things to look for. And really, if you kind of read between the lines, what this means is all of these trends, all of these events, is that there's going to be tumult in the earth, that there's going to be confusion, that there will be deception and chaos in the earth. But that is not the destiny for everyone. We want to be part of the solution. We want to be part of the answer, because there is going to be a desperate need for answers. We got to see in this past year the way the Lord kind of in a micro way, sense, was able to shake the earth for just a brief moment. And really begin to reveal some of the things that were going on. I feel like the conversation was on a million different topics leading up to March of last year, and then all of a sudden was just on COVID, you know. There are going to be other things that take the attention of the earth in a similar way, and probably even greater. And with all of those different changes and with the different ways that there's going to be winds and waves, we want to be able to stay steady, to stay focused, but not just be steady and focused. We want to help have answers. We want to help be sober in the hour. We want to help be a way to navigate, like a lighthouse in the midst of a storm of tumultuous waters that ships would face, but to but to be able to have answers. We want to be people with answers. Going to read Luke 21. I just see this as such a verse that really encapsulates some of the temptation and some of the ways that the earth kind of felt over this past year. But I believe will be emphasized in the years to come. Luke 21:34 says, "Take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, with drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things, escape the sin and the fear that's going to really just be pervasive throughout the earth, and to stand before the Son of Man." We want to be able to be sober. We want to be able to keep our way about us and to see rightly, to respond appropriately as all of these things are coming about. As we wrap up, this is a bit of a calling for us. We want to be people with answers. We want to be people with authority. We want to have a way forward for those around us, as I believe that things are going to continue to evolve and things are going to continue to move forward for the preparation of Jesus' return. The good news is that Jesus gave his people practical pastoral counsel to watch and pray. We saw that in that Luke 21 passage. This is the answer, to watch and pray. We are positioning ourselves as a congregation to receive greater insight, to be watchful people, to be those with understanding of what the Lord is doing in this hour. We want to be people who are gaining in greater strength through prayer so that we could love well as the pressure increases. We know that there's going to be multitudes of people who are needing answers, who are confused, who are deceived, and we want to help be part of the answer. There's going to be those who are looking for answers, who are looking for the power of God resting on them, who are looking for those with courage, with insight into what God is doing. And we want to help. We want to help grow as individuals, but as those are joined to us, we want to help grow in understanding and in strength and stand and be those who overcome. The couple passages in Daniel 11 and 12 want to take a look at. This is where I believe we're headed, that we would be those, not the only ones, of course, but part of those who would be wise. Daniel 12:3. "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn away, who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." This is what we're aiming for, that we would be positioned to be this type of people. So we're in need right now. We have the need for understanding. We have a need for us to get our foundation in this time. I believe that it's a mercy the Lord would give us a trial like this past year, but then give us a bit of a reprieve in this moment. I feel like there's a bit of a calm right now, and I believe it's for us to really be sober about the way that we move forward. I don't believe this is a moment where it's back to normal or making strides toward back to normal. I believe it's a time for us to assess and really reflect on where our foundation is and what we're doing and the things that we're saying yes to and the things that we're intentional about so that we could be positioned to be this type of people. And so we are really calling as a congregation us to be about this, to be about what we're doing as a congregation, the serve together, the walk together, the pray together, those components. That's That's part of the way that we express it. But we see the timeline beginning to unfold, the signs of the times as they are unfolding. And we want to help be part of the answer. And so we're gonna wrap up here. So this last bit, really what I want to just call us to is to be those who are help setting the standard, to help be part of the forerunner community. I remember some years ago we were kind of hoping and waiting for the mentors to come. We were kind of hoping and waiting for the Calvary to show up, and we just realized they're not coming. And so we kind of had to say, okay, well, we have to really be those fathers. And as time has passed, we're calling those around us to kind of take up that same responsibility as those who are coming to us and finding this as a place to call home, to be a part of the family. We want to help be part of the answer. And so we're aiming to equip this generation and the generation coming up right behind them.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.